Who is God's child? The answer to that question might actually surprise you. That's why we're going to talk about it on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, before we go any further, I'd like to remind you about our national conference, which is beginning next Monday. That's October 26th, and it will run through the 29th, and it's not too late to get registered. For more information, you can go to faithalone.org and click on events. We certainly hope to see you there. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're taking your questions. Send them to radio@faithalone.org. Not many people get to ask these questions that are on their minds. You certainly don't get to ask them during Sunday morning service at church, and you may not even be able to get to ask them at a Sunday school class or Bible study class, which will usually be on a particular book or topic, and you might not have any questions about that. You might want to talk about something else, but you never get a chance to because the Bible study or Sunday school questions never are about that. So send us your questions at radio@faithalone.org. We'd love to hear from you. For example, here's a question from David. And David says, I work in children's ministry, and I'm seeing lessons plans that are more about behavior than about believing in or trusting in Jesus alone. Yesterday, they read a story to the kids about Punkinell and Eli, the wooden puppet maker. And the end of the story was, the point of the story was that I made you, you're special, and God doesn't make mistakes. There was no mention of our sin or repentance or turning to Jesus. They told all the kids that they're all in the family of God. What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, he mentions, sticks repentance in there seemingly as one of the conditions of everlasting life, which
right.
I don't know if that's what he's saying. Hopefully not. But repentance is not the condition of everlasting life or of justification. Justification is by faith alone, apart from works.
Right.
Regeneration is by faith alone, apart from works. But the gist of his question is, what do you think about telling children that they're all children of God?
Right.
Apart from faith, apart from anything.
Right.
Just God made you, therefore you're a child of God.
Right. I think that's the theology that's being communicated in at least this children's program.
Now, of course, it is true we're all God's creatures.
Right.
We're all created by him. But in the sense of being in his family, we're only children of God if we believe in Jesus. John 1:12
right.
says that as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name.
And by the way, there's a lot of denominations in Christendom who would say you are born a child of God if your parents are believers or if you've been baptized as a child or, you know, they practice infant baptism. I'm thinking about the Episcopal Church or the Anglican Church or even the United Methodist Church.
I was christened in the Orthodox
right.
Church.
And
I was
them,
about 6 months old.
Right,
yeah.
And to them it's kind of like a Jewish kid getting circumcised. If you're
yeah.
circumcised, you're part of Israel. If you get baptized as a baby, you're part of the church. But that's not, we would disagree strongly with that. Only believers become part of the church, the body
exactly.
of Christ.
Exactly.
Right. And you can be very young and be a believer.
Sure.
But it's only for believers. It's not about getting these external things done to you.
No, absolutely.
So what do you think about this type of children's ministry? I mean, you do need to be careful about what you're teaching these kids.
Right. Now, it's one thing to say we need to evangelize children. Of course we do. But it's another thing to say every lesson, every week should be on evangelism.
Right.
That doesn't make sense either. So what I would suggest is you're going to evangelize the children one message a year, something like that. But then every week you're going to remind them of the saving message.
Like you're just going to talk about that normally. You also want them to grow in their faith and understanding. And the foundation of that growth, of course, is the promise of eternal life.
Right. So we might say something like, because we know we have everlasting life by faith in Jesus, or because we know that we're going to spend eternity with Jesus because we've believed in him, therefore we ought to obey our parents. Therefore, we ought to be students at school that are bringing glory to God.
Right.
And we're acting in a way at school that reflects well on Jesus. Because we're his representatives there in fourth grade. We represent Jesus there. And so you see that we're mentioning the saving message, but the lesson is not about that. The lesson is, okay, let's be a good
right.
child of our parents. Let's be a good brother or a good sister. Let's be lights at our local school, in our neighborhood, whatever it is, so that just like you're ministering to adults, well, you're going to be calling them, if they have come to faith, to live godly lives.
Right.
And
right.
we shouldn't think you've got to be 18 years old to start living a godly life.
Right. And in that context, I mean, there's nothing wrong with, I mean, he says there's no mention of our sin or repentance or turning to Jesus. And of course, little kids need to be taught about sin and repentance. And I don't know what turning to Jesus means, but going to Jesus for their sufficiency for all things.
Right.
They need to be taught that too.
Sure.
Your kids need to be taught the whole counsel of God.
Well, there's another point that his question raises, and we get this all the time. Where do we find good Sunday school materials for children? Where do we find good Bible study materials for children? People ask this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
right.
we should teach through books of the Bible to children. It's fine to have Sunday school materials,
right.
and I know at our church, Victor Street Bible Chapel, we get materials from one of the leading publishers, and then we revise and edit the material depending on what the teacher's wanting to emphasize, and
right.
so we will leave out some things and add in some other things. You can do that,
yeah.
but you could also say, we're going to pick the leading stories in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
You know, the three men in the fiery furnace.
Right.
Or Daniel in the lion's den.
And by the way, I think that would be good for the teachers, too.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because it forces the teacher to be like, oh, man, I'm not just babysitting kids here. I need to be communicating the faith to them, which means I need to have faith to communicate.
Right.
You know, I need to be familiar with the Bible here.
I need to study the Word in order to teach the Word instead of saying, okay, well, what I'm going to do is just fill in these blank kind of things.
Right.
There are lots and lots of stories in the Old Testament which teach us theological truths. You know, David and Goliath, the crossing of the Red Sea, the 10 plagues in Egypt, you know, all the Psalms. I mean, there are so many things in both the Old and the New Testament. Jesus
right.
walking on water, Jesus stilling the storm,
sure.
Jesus feeding the 5,000. Children need to learn all these things.
Yeah, and not just the cutesy stories, you know.
Right.
And a lot of this material, I think, errs on the side of just focusing on cutesy stuff and doesn't really bring out any important lesson about God from the text, like Noah's Ark. Everyone always just focuses on, oh, look at all the cute little animals in this. How about the death of all the sinners?
You know, right.
death and judgment and salvation. And there's all kinds of interesting things there that I think little kids are really interested in.
Let me give you an example. Many years ago, probably 20 years ago, I was asked to speak to an Awana group. That's for children. It's approved workmen are not ashamed is what that stands for,
mm-hmm.
2 Timothy 2:15. And they're seeking to have children become really approved workmen.
Mm-hmm.
And so they move through. They have little things they can advance and they can move on. Anyway, I was speaking to a group, I think it was five-year-olds, like kindergartners up to about third grade.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a fairly young group. Maybe it was fifth grade. And I remember I was giving a lesson on eternal rewards.
Yeah.
To that age group.
Yeah, yeah.
And I spoke about the judgment seat of Christ, and I said, if we serve Christ faithfully, one day we'll hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, and he will give us rewards
mm-hmm.
that will enhance our lives forever.
Right.
And I remember after the class, and there were, I don't know, something like 40 kids there, after my little lesson, it wasn't long, 5-10 minutes, a five-year-old girl came up to me and said, I really like that. That
mm-hmm.
makes lots of sense. I want Jesus to reward me.
Uh-huh.
And she knew she was saved.
Right.
And she knew that now the issue was, is he going to approve of me? And
mm-hmm.
she got what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we should assume that if a child is 5 years old, they're nincompoops.
Right, right.
They can be not only intelligent,
right.
obviously, because some five-year-olds are geniuses, but regardless of their IQ level, they can be theologically sound, at least on the basics.
All right, so let's summarize here. As a pastor or as someone who's working in children's ministry, you need to be aware of what you are using and what your fellow Sunday school teachers are using, because you do need to teach the children your faith. But the question is, what kind of faith are you teaching them? And if you're teaching them a behavior salvation faith or a type of universalism, hey, we're all part of the family of God, that's false teaching. As a teacher, you will be held accountable to that by the Lord, so you need to be aware of what you're using.
Okay, you're making a great point here. J.B. Bond, pastor of Stillwater Bible Church, gave a talk at our national conference a few years ago in which he said in his church, every single Sunday school class is evaluated by the elders in the church to make sure it's consistent with the teaching of the church. Mm. They can't have a first grade teacher teaching work salvation or lordship salvation any more than they can have an adult teacher teaching that. They want everyone in the church to be teaching sound doctrine. And so I think it is the responsibility of the leaders of a local church to make sure that everything, even the teaching to children, is sound. So we need to pay attention. We need to be meeting with these teachers, talking with them, maybe occasionally sitting in on their classes so that we know what's being taught is sound.
You know, one of the things that we've wanted to do as a ministry, because we know there is such a need, is to produce this type of Sunday school material. Now, again, like as we said, the best way to do it is just to take out your Bible and just read these stories and discuss them with the kids. But materials are helpful, and we'd love to produce them. But really, Bob and I, our plates are full at the moment. You know, maybe God is putting it on your heart to write that material on your own time and to make it available on your website. I mean, I would, if that's you, if that's speaking to your situation, maybe that's speaking to David's situation, you'd be serving the churches if you took the initiative and wrote that type of material and made it available to other people.
Sure.
God can really use that and make it grow. Well, thank you very much for sending us your questions to radio@faithalone.org. We love hearing from you. If you want to listen to our previous episodes of this podcast, go to faithalone.org and look up resources. Radio, you can hear us on iTunes, you can hear us on Stitcher, you can hear us at our website. Be sure to sign up for our magazine and for our daily blog, which I know will not only be a blessing to you, but may actually help you in preparing Sunday school lessons. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about how Gentiles were saved before the cross, so you want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus. Thank you.